Hey guys, this is Anna. So before we get on with the show today, let's hear from our sponsor.
Hey everybody, this is the Ramblings of a Transgender Christian podcast. I am your host, Anna Hudak. I have not been up for even an hour today, so I am very exhausted, especially because I didn't go to bed till very, very late. I am talking past one. I was working on a whole bunch of shit. Especially I've been working on a script for a video, making a response video. So last year, there was this person that I know in real life, very fundamentalist Christian, very fundamentalist Christian. And they made a video responding to Black Lives Matter. Last year, I didn't have the heart to watch the video. I heard a few minutes of it near the end, and that was all I needed to hear. Plus, I had enough people, friends, well, not really friends, but people that I know that are, I guess, are kind of friends in a family who saw it and told me enough about it. And let's put it this way, the video was so fucking horrendous that he got confronted by just about everybody. Even my sisters confronted him over the video because it was just fucking awful. I mean, just. But I am watching it. Like last night, I decided I was going to sit there and try to watch it because the video's been scrubbed off YouTube since. At least if he did, at least I can't find it, So I think he scrubbed it off YouTube and I can't even find his YouTube channel anymore. But I downloaded the video last year because I intended to do a response to it last year. But I just never was able to bring myself to do it. But now it's like, okay, I want to do this, Yes, it's a year late, but I don't give a fuck. I think it's still worth responding to such a nuclear-grade bad take. And so last night, I tried to get myself to watch it for the very first time. I made it about halfway through before I literally had to stop watching for my own sanity. I'm not even joking. That's how bad the video was that, like, I was literally losing my sanity. I am not joking. There is no exaggeration. This is legitimately, without a doubt, the worst take on anything I have ever heard in my entire fucking life. And I am not exaggerating. This is how fucking awful this take was. I could not take it. So today I'm going to try to force myself to watch the second half. I don't know if I can. I'm being honest, but like I'm somehow going to force myself to write out a script, respond to this video, edit the video, and push it out. How I'm going to do this, I don't know. This is honestly going to be the toughest thing I've ever done for content. Like, honestly, one of the toughest things I've ever done in my life because this take is so nuclear grade awful. I'm not joking when I say I honestly wish I was just responding to a Ben Shapiro video. I mean, holy shit. Ben Shapiro is a million times smarter than this. Fuck it, I'm gonna be really fucking inflammatory. But I mean, honest, I would literally probably rather listen to a KKK member rant about Black Lives Matter just because at least they actually address the actual issue. This motherfucker who I'm responding to, but I do know in real life and have completely cut out my life. And I think you'll understand why once you see the video. Very transphobic, and yes, the kid gets very transphobic in the video because he talks about everything in the video. It's not even just talking about Black Lives Matter, but even when he talks about Black Lives Matter, he can't even address the actual fucking issue. At least fucking Black KKK members will actually address the fucking issue. Holy shit. Oh gosh, it's so bad. It is so bad. It is so fucking bad. I am dreading watching a single second of that video ever again. God damn, it's bad. So yeah, I was up late last night, torturing myself with that. And playing Super Mario Odyssey, I played that for about for a few hours. I started playing that a little after 11, didn't stop playing till probably what 1:30, so maybe about 2.5 hours straight. of Super Mario Odyssey last night. You know, I actually made a video, which I'm gonna try to remember to link in the description, about, how much Super Mario Odyssey means to me. Not a very good game, I'm gonna admit. I don't think it's that great of a game. But man, it means a lot to me because, like, it was a game I needed at that time, and I decided to play through it again. I'm having a good time. It's a game I am struggling to put down. Not gonna lie, I probably played in total maybe about 5, 6 hours yesterday and the day before that. Probably about the same. Like, I am putting a shit ton of time into that game, and having a blast doing so for the most part. So yeah, there's that. I might go back to it later. I don't know. We'll see. I'm definitely gonna talk more in depth about it at some point, whether it's this episode or maybe a exclusive Patreon bonus episode, but we'll see. Might honestly be a Patreon bonus episode. We'll see. We'll see how long this episode goes. Because I gotta keep this episode shorter, because the last episode had way too many technical problems, all stemming from it being an hour plus episode, really. And also, so here's the good thing. I got my computer working again. My laptop. Was able to tape my the charger together, so just have to make sure that the taping doesn't come undone. But still, the computer overheats and like nothing, like literally just going on the Twitter can sometimes get the thing to overheat, and crash. So yeah, I definitely need a new laptop or desktop very badly. But I mean, it will do for now, but yeah, there's that. But yeah, I got that up, I got that running to do that. And then actually using that to for my notes and for the articles today, downloaded a bunch of shit. So yeah, so let's kind of get into actual stuff to actually talk about. So before we really get super in depth, there's just two news items I just want to mention. I'm not going to really commentate on them. I just want to mention that these happened. So yeah, I saw in the BBC that the Methodist Church has allowed same-sex marriage. So yeah, they've had a Methodist conference last Wednesday. 254 voted in favor of allowing same-sex marriage and 46 went against. That said, because once again, it's a religious group, you can't, even when you get nice things, not completely a nice thing. There's always that big but to it. Freedom of conscience clause means that ministers will not be forced to conduct such weddings if they oppose the move. Come on. Be better. I mean, seriously, be better. Well, my freedom of conscience says that, black people are subhuman, and therefore I shouldn't have to allow them into my church. I think that, I think that Jews are subhuman. They shouldn't be allowed in my church. Those dirty scheming scumbags who are destroying this world. I mean, seriously, what the fuck? I'm sorry, but freedom, basic human rights kind of trumps your oppressive views. Like, here's the thing. Keeping LGBT people out of church, not affirming them, it's not just a simple little difference of opinion. I'm sorry, it's not. What you were inherently saying is that LGBT people are made lesser. And that, not only did God make us inherently lesser, but that we don't deserve basic human rights. Like, no, sorry, that's not a difference of opinion. So no, freedom of conscience clauses should not exist in this case. If you don't want to marry gay people, then guess what? Find a different profession. It's literally what the Methodist Church is saying. You don't want to marry gay people? Find a different profession. Go. What are you still doing here? Get the fuck out of here. That's what he should be doing. But no, wait. We gotta sit here and play patty cake with the oppressor because you don't want to offend oppressors, you know? I mean, just think of the poor oppressing class, you know? Think of those four poor oppressive cishet people who just hate LGBT people because they're icky and weird and think they're subhuman. Who think of the cishet oppressors? So yeah, you know, good on the Methodist Church for allowing same-sex marriage. Boo for only going halfway on it. And still, you know, appealing to the morality of the oppressor. Okay, never appeal to the morality of the oppressor. Because if you ever appeal to the morality of the oppressor, nothing's ever going to be done. What you tell the oppressor is, hey, go fuck yourself. This is how things are going to be done from now on. Don't like it? Then, well, fuck off. And keep fucking off. Keep fucking off until you find a gate with a sign that says you can't fuck off past here. Then you climb over the gate and dream the impossible dream and keep fucking off forever. Okay, that's how this works now. Okay, you just fuck off forever. That's what you tell the oppressors. You don't sit here and play patty cake with them, you know, make them feel valid and all that stuff, you know. You don't sit here and, you know, give them, well, if you really think that these people are subhuman, you don't need to, you know, affirm them or anything. We'll allow that. No, you tell them, go fuck off. Get with the times, motherfucker. But yeah, so good and bad news coming out of Methodist Church. And then, so a transgender woman has been crowned Miss Nevada, USA. The first in pageant history. So yeah, Cataluna Enriquez, 27. She won Miss Nevada USA, transgender woman, and she will compete for the Miss USA title in November. And she posted it on Instagram. Huge thank you to everyone who supported me from day one. My community, you are always in my heart. My win is our win. We just made history. Happy Pride. So yeah, trans women, once again, making their mark in this world in positive ways, you know, continuing to be represented, finally, including in spaces that have generally been exclusively cis female forever, so. Gotta mention that, obviously. Of course, you'll be able to find links to all these articles in the show notes, if you want to read more, so. But listen, on the pageant one, there's really nothing else to really read. I pretty much really did say everything. Short-ass article. But anyway, so yeah, I got a few things I want to talk about in this episode. Just a few things. So let's see, which one should I take on for? Okay, so there was something that my dad said last Sunday to me. So I got him to read Transforming by Austin Herkey. I'll try to remember to put a link to it in the description, if I remember. So yeah, got him to read Transforming by Austin Herkey because it's a book about trans people by a trans Christian theologian, you know. And I got Dad to read it. Well, he finished reading it. Let's put it this way, our discussion about it did not go well. At all. My dad basically called Austin Herkey transgender Ken Ham. So for those who don't know, Ken Ham is a young earth creationist whose entire business model revolves around making straw man arguments and taking cherry-picking scriptures and cherry-picking science. According to my dad, Austin Herkey does the same thing. According to my dad, Austin of course, he made it clear that this is all LGBT theologians, not just Austin, who has to cherry-pick scripture and also cherry-pick science. Yeah. Not good. And then he also talked about, his big complaint about the book was that Austin Herkey was claiming apparently that LGBT people are at the top of the totem pole in heaven. I don't know, understand how that this was such a. Like, I don't really know what he's talking about, but apparently. I mean, I know that Austin kind of made a few references to heaven and stuff like that, but it says, like, apparently, like, according to Dad, this is, like, the point of the book. And my dad, and so, like, we went into this whole theology of heaven. I'm not gonna bother going into, and it was something, and according to my dad, the people who are gonna be highest in heaven are those who are truly repentant. And so my dad told me with a completely straight face, being 100% serious, that an LGBT person who is truly repentant will be the highest in the kingdom of heaven because, quite simply, LGBT people have more to repent of. No, you didn't mishear that. According to my dad, LGBT people have more to repent for than cishet people. I can't. I fucking can't. And maybe there were things, like, he just said that so straight face, right in my eyes. His own transgender daughter's face. Said that with straight face and just moved on with his day. Like, after this conversation, like, nothing happened. Like, for him, nothing happened. This is just the way things are. Then he, offered to make me some lunch and everything, just wanted to talk more, about other things. I'm just sitting there, like, I mean, I wasn't hungry at that point. Didn't really want to talk to him, but, had to make it look like that nothing was going on, because I didn't want to sit there and fight with him over this, because I've learned my lesson, okay? Once my dad gets a notion about something, you can't change his mind. I'm sorry, but you might as well use a bulldozer to try to move to Rocky Mountains. It's not happening. Once Dad has his mind set on something, has his mind made up on a certain opinion, you can't change it. He's going to have to change it himself. There is literally nothing you can say. Because believe me, I have been in many arguments with Dad. I have tried to explain things to Dad, about so many things, including LGBT people. It doesn't matter. The guy is stubborn. He won't change his mind. Like, you're literally just wasting your energy and breath by arguing with him on anything. I mean, it's genuinely just better to go, yep. Just sit there and make it look like you agree with everything that he's saying. Because otherwise, you're gonna get in a debate that you're not gonna win. You're just gonna end up getting frustrated. Especially because he will completely misrepresent everything that you say. It's just. I mean, it's just exhausting. It's been, what, 7 years since he found out that I'm trans? And he still refuses to affirm. I mean, at least I'll give him credit. He's not pushing conversion therapy on me anymore, He sent me to conversion therapy after finding out I was trans. And then 2 years ago, once realizing that it didn't cure me of being trans, tried to get me to go back to conversion therapy. Because, hey, maybe second time's the charm. I thought that maybe I was starting to get him see the light. Nope. Not at all. He just simply doesn't want. He simply just doesn't care. Truly care about me. I mean, I don't know whatever way to put it, you know? The fact that he quite obviously thinks lesser of me for being trans. I honestly thought we were past that. And to find out now that he views trans people as being sinful for being trans still. And he's disabled to tell this to his own daughter and just move on in his day like nothing happened. Just so hurtful. Like, I don't know how to go and just move on from it. I'm being honest. I just don't. How do you just go on with your day after hearing that? You know? Makes me want to spend less time with my parents, and I already kind of do in some ways, you know? My parents have never repented of her abuse. In fact, they pretend that the abuse never happened. In fact, they pretend that they never, you know, hated me for being trans to begin with. For pretend that they were always accepting when we're still not accepting now, but, you know, they pretend they were always accepting because, hey, you know, as long as we accept the fact that you're trans, but don't actually affirm you as a trans person, yeah, that's perfectly okay and acceptable. Yeah, sure. That's how they view it. You know, and the worst part is, like, what am I supposed to start kind of? Gender dysphoria, you know? Like, my own dad, you know, like, okay, the reason I'm trans is because my mom took a fertility pill to have me. And that fertility pill has been linked to causing gender dysphoria. So the reason I'm trans is because of fucking fertility pill. My dad told me this because I didn't know mom took this pill. My dad did the fucking research and found out and told me. So he knows that that's the reason why I'm trans. But despite that, it doesn't matter. Apparently, just being trans is fucking sinful. It's like, what am I supposed to do? I mean, seriously, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Kill myself? I mean, that's literally the only other option. Because if I didn't transition, I would be 6 feet under right now. I would have killed myself. So is that what you want me to do? I mean, what do you expect me to do? I just can't. You know, I just want this to work out between me and my parents, despite the fact knowing that we're never going to apologize, we're never going to be repentant for the harm they've done to me and my sisters. We're never going to admit that they abused us. We're never going to repent of it. We're never going to change. But, like, I want it to work. I love him so dearly, and plus, if I'm being honest, for all I have, for the only people I really have in my life, really, that I get to ever see, for the only family I have, you know? I don't have a chosen family. I don't have anybody else that I see in my real life. I don't have friends to hang out regularly with. My parents are it. So if I don't have them, Brennan's got nobody, you know. I mean, I got, you know, a friend. Maybe two friends. I do know in real life that I almost never see, but I might message every now and then. You know, one of them I interact with a decent amount on Twitter, but still, you know, you don't really see them much. And then, I got another friend I know strictly from online, and I love her, love her like a sister, so I guess she is kind of a chosen family, but, never seen her in real life. She lives in Oklahoma. I live in Indiana, We've never met each other in real life. We'd have a, we want to meet each other, but, who knows when that will ever be, and who knows how often, For all I know, that one time may be the only time. I know. But I mean, yeah, I mean, once I, if I lose my parents, I mean, that's pretty much everybody gone. The only people that I ever really get to interact with in my real life. The only family that I really have, at least here in real life, that's not online. Only family I interact with. I just can't bear the thought of at least, barely seeing them, I mean, like, I need to see them, because, I mean, that's it. Like, as much as of a hermit I am, an introvert, I still need to see people. And we're the only ones I get to see. This is what they think of me. It's like, how do you reconcile that? I genuinely don't know what to do. Just feels like my whole life is just crumbling. Not just that, it's just one of the many symptoms in a quickly crumbling life. If I'm being honest, I just really don't have hope left at this point. Suicide is never very far from my mind. Was considering it this morning anyway, as well, if I'm being honest. There's for a little bit, I was kind of dragging my feet on coming on camera and starting to record this podcast just because I was having so many suicidal thoughts already. Anyway, that's really everything I've got for this subject. I really, so probably should move on. So the next topic I'm gonna discuss is also kind of a serious one. So Kelvin Gera, a trans man who used to make YouTube videos, very toxic. For those who don't know him, he was a trans medicalist, which is a basically it's the belief that trans people must experience gender dysphoria to be trans, and that you must, pass. And you must get all the like surgeries and everything, basically, I believe. I mean, if I know that like there's some variance in trans medicalist ideology now, like I think that some don't necessarily affirm that you have to have all the surgeries, but I think it might at least they at the very least say that you must at least want the surgeries or something like that. But you gotta pass, you gotta have gender dysphoria. It's a very harmful belief. I used to be a trans medicalist. When I first accepted I was trans, I started looking out trans creators, trying to look into the trans community. And the very first trans community I became part of, because it was the first one I found, was the trans medicalist community. And I was a trans med for, over a year. I mean, there was a time when I was regularly pushing support, openly supporting and pushing people such as Blair White and Kelvin Gera. Following a shit ton of trans medicalist blogs on Tumblr, I still have to this day an article that I never finished on my blog that's literally titled "Why Transmedicalism is the Compassionate Position." I'm not joking. This was an article that I started writing and never finished from February of 2020. I'm not a transmedicalist anymore, but this was, who I was at the time. So I was a huge fan of Kelvin Guerra before I started realizing how toxic transmedicalism and Kelvin Guerra is. But yeah, he's no longer making YouTube videos, but every now and then he climbs up from the sewer and says something on Twitter. So he decided to have a pretty bad take on Twitter. I don't have the exact tweet in front of me. I forgot to screenshot it. But basically on the lines that, I guess somebody, I forget her name, came out as transracial. Yeah, transracial. And Kelvin Garrett said, "See this, see tra ex trans meds, all of you who, this is what leads, this is what you, your beliefs, your ex trans med beliefs lead to transracialism." So basically, he was just trying to mock anybody who's not a trans man, saying, "See, if you don't believe that gender dysphoria is, required to be trans, then very well, you must affirm, transracialism, which is bullshit. You don't need to, because here's the thing." These are completely, I'm speaking as an ex-trans med. These are completely different topics. You cannot compare them. The only thing that these two have in common with each other is the prefix trans. That's it. Okay, so what is transgender? Well, it's when your internal sense of gender, your internal gender identity, your sense of who you are, differs from, the physical, the physical sex. The physical sex. Basically, when your gender doesn't match your physical sex. And the reason is because gender identity is something that is innate. It is an you have a innate gender identity, something you identify as. There's nothing you can do to change that. Nobody has an internal sense of racial identity that you're born with. Everybody has a gender identity for born with. Nobody innately, and I mean innately, identifies with a certain race. Okay, let's say that, let's pretend that this was a completely colorblind society. There was no racism. Nobody noticed, the color of your skin. Let's just pretend. Now you have a baby. They grow up to be about in like and there's a baby in this world, when they're like 3 and 4, they just know who they are, like in my case, let's pretend I was born into this world, into this, world without racism, world where in a society that's completely colorblind, let's pretend, I was born into that world. Same way that I am now, trans. I was born assigned male at birth, I was born of a male body. But even as a toddler, I knew that I was a girl. It was just something I knew. Can't explain it, I just knew it. I just knew at the very core of my being that I was a girl. But there was never a part of me that was like, that just innately knew, yes, I'm white. Like, as a toddler, nobody ever told me I was a girl. No, they kept telling me I was a boy. But despite that, I knew I was a girl. Because like it's just something that you just know. It's so innate to you. Race is not that way. In fact, the concept of race is fucking bullshit and was literally created to justify the slave trade. Nobody as a toddler, is born white and is just like, no, I'm really black. It doesn't happen because there is no innate sense of race. These are completely different issues. Transracialism has its own set of nuances and its whole set of different, totally different ethical issues, ethical and moral issues and stuff like that. To compare these two, say that these are in any way comparable, to say that not believing that gender dysphoria is required to be trans, and therefore you must accept transracial, is so fucking ridiculous. These are very different issues. To compare them is a complete disservice to both. But yeah, so yeah, Kelvin, another terrible take by Kelvin Garrett, and I just had to talk about it. It's just a just fucking terrible tweet. I mean, it's amazing to me how many people actually try to make it out that, try to pretend that transracialism and transgenderism are basically one and the same, truly comparable. And it's like, really not. Very different. I mean, these are very different issues. But yeah, so I had to sound off on that. It was a. I even made a tweet about it, but like I realized I probably wanted to I needed to expand on it further, so I'll try to remember to link to the tweet in the show notes and this YouTube description. But yeah, so I had to talk about that. All right, so I finally remembered again to have a good news story to end this episode with, so we're gonna end with a good news story this episode. So of course, I'll have a link to it in the description, in the show notes, and YouTube description. However, you're watching or listening. I don't remember where this is from. Oh yeah, it's World at Large. So this is being reported by World at Large. The headline is Svalbard. Svalbard, I have no idea how to pronounce it. Svalbard, I'm going with. Coal mines dismantled and the area is turned it back into wilderness with an enormous national park. Norway, having ceased mining operations of coal in the Arctic in 2017, is dismantling their last mine piece by, sorry, or dismantling their last mine piece by piece and turning the whole area into a national park twice the size of Grand Teton in Wyoming. The goal is to turn the Svalbard archipelago, in particular the Van Mijenfjord, Mijenfjord, into a howling wilderness once again, the best managed wilderness in the world, where polar bears, seals, and countless other Arctic species can thrive in what experts say will be one of the most resilient areas under threat from climate change. Seeds aren't the only thing stored underground on Svalbard. Coal has been mined there under state monopoly for 100 years. Despite climate change pressures mounting throughout the 21st century, it wasn't until 2016 that a government white paper announced a moratorium. Seven national parks, 15 bird sanctuaries, one geopark, and six reserves dot two-thirds of the 23,500 square miles archipelago of islands, fjords, mountains, and glaciers. 3,000 polar bears inhabit the area, and during the late summer, more than 20 million birds and 80 different species nest in Svalbard after long migratory patterns. Prime stretches of land on Svalbard will be important for biodiversity and conservation as years go by. On July 25th, 2020, the highest temperature ever recorded on Svalbard when thermometers reached 21.7 Celsius. While over the last 50 years, the average temperatures have risen about 3 Celsius. And I feel like I have no idea what the fuck that means. Don't know Celsius at all, so no idea what this means. But anyway, continuing on. This is common across much of the Arctic. It is hypothesized that the lack of sea ice covers more, reveals more dark water, absorbing solar energy faster and increasing the speed of melting ice. The Van Meegeren-Ford area retains the sea ice most of the year, highlighting its importance for local climate and biodiversity. Images of the coal mining operations from past years depict a giant black spot on an otherwise white landscape. Further removal of all black rocks, dust, and steel infrastructure could yield better localized climate results. As Van Meegeren, Mian, or Van Meegeren, I'm struggling with, has sea ice year-round, it is important hunting ground for bears. At the throat of the ford, Zvia's mine has loaded ships with coal for generations, but it's now being dismembered rather than abandoned to ensure the area returns to a pristine natural state. A mid-June press release by the Norwegian government announced they are expanding the existing Nordenskjold Land National Park to incorporate the ford, creating an additional 1,125 square miles. Wilderness is called Van Meegeren Forden National Park. Our goal for Svalbard is to be one of the most best managed wilderness areas in the world. It requires us to implement measures to deal with climate changes and pressure caused by increased traffic. The protection of Van Meegeren Ford and surrounding areas is a direct response to this, says Minister Sveinung Rotevatn said in the same release. Like Grand Teton, the borders of the new park lie atop the existing Spitsbergen National Park, making it easy for visitors to see both. A Russian coal mine remains in operation, while the last Norwegian operation, Mine 7, was left to functional only to provide an emergency source of energy for settlements there and was recently flooded, and so operations have stopped. So yeah, it's always good whenever a government takes steps to help fight against climate change. Much more needs to be done, especially by America, but it's always good to see this kind of stuff get put to an end, especially mining. You know, be able to allow stop pushing out natural habitats and allow them to return, and also just stop doing things that are harmful for the environment. So it's always a good thing, especially when they say government action. This means that we might be finally someone taking us seriously. So, anywho, that's everything I've got for today's episode. Thank you for watching, everyone. I hope you have a great day. And yeah, that's everything. Peace.